So good to see all of you this morning. Welcome to week three of a series that we've been in for the last few weeks that we're calling Unstrapped. Unstrapped. And what we're talking about here in this series is something that can get a little touchy and get a little dicey. It's not something, especially in the church, that we really like talking about. And that thing is money. And if you're joining us for the first time this week, I want to encourage you, go on to our podcast or our YouTube channel and watch the first couple of weeks of this series, because they really are foundational to what we're going to talk about today. But just to give you the kind of like real quick cliff notes of what we've discussed here in the weeks leading up to this third week, we have been talking about how to unstrap our hearts and our minds and our spirits from some of the myths about what money tells us that it can do for us. And so in week one, what we talked about was this idea that money will never give us true security. It will never give us true contentment. It might deliver on that for a short time, but it won't deliver long term. And so the last thing that we want to put our hope in this life is money. There is no eternal hope in it. And so we challenge you, stop doing it. Stop putting your hope in money. Stop believing that it will bring you security and contentment. There's only one thing that's going to bring that to you truly in this life, and that's Jesus. But last week, we took it a step further. You know, first of all, let's not put our hope in it. Let's not put our security in it and believe it's going to give us contentment. And second of all, let's recognize where it really comes from. See, everything that we have, it comes from our Heavenly Father. Right down to the breath in our lungs, we would have nothing if it wasn't for him. And that includes our finances. That includes our money. And what we've been commanded to do with our money, if we are really going to call ourselves Jesus followers, if he is really Lord of our life, he has given us a command about how to use our time, talent, and treasure. He says, you're to steward it to make an impact on the kingdom. I haven't given it all to you just to consume for yourself. I've given it to you so that you can use it to have influence and to build the kingdom of God. But the question I have this week now, as we move into week three, is this. What does that look like? I mean, what does it mean for me to actually be a good steward of what God has given to me? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And the truth is this: in order to be a good steward, we actually have to have something to steward. And there is a problem running rampant in this culture, in the United States of America, and I have never lived outside of this country, so maybe it's going on in other parts of the world too, but we have a problem in this country. We are massively in debt. Have you noticed this? I did a little bit of research as I was planning for this little talk that we're going to have today. And one of the things I came across was that our national debt now sits at $22 trillion. $22 trillion. That is an unfathomable number. Like, that is so unbelievably huge. We are massively in debt as a country. Our government is in debt. And sadly, our people are in debt. We as individuals, many of us are also in debt. The average American now has anywhere between $7,000 and $10,000 of credit card debt. $7,000 to $10,000. The average American now owes $38,000 in debt across credit cards, student loans, car payments, and that does not even include mortgages. I mean, you want to get into mortgages, now we're talking about just astronomical numbers of debt. We are massively in debt. And so today, I want to talk about this a little bit. What I really want to do is get to the heart of this, because that's what we're trying to do in this whole series. Get to the heart of the matter. And I want to let you know up front, like, this is probably going to be a difficult message for some of us. This is going to be a really challenging message for some of us. But I want you to know this as well. And I say this all the time, and I mean it. The reason I'm sharing this information with you today, the reason we're going to talk about this today, is because I love you and I care about you. And I have been there. I came through the school of hard knocks. And I don't want you to have to go through the same things. I want you to be able to live in freedom the way that I believe God has provided the opportunity for me to live in freedom. And so, yeah, it's going to be a tough subject today. We're going to have to look in the mirror and make some assessments about how we spend our money. But I promise you this, if you will do that, if you will be honest with yourself, and if you will let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, yes, it might be convicting, and yes, it might be difficult, but there is freedom at the end of the road if we will allow him to speak to us and if we'll be obedient to him. And so the question I have today as we get started is this. Why are we in so much debt? Why is it that we live in the most prosperous country in the world, and yet it seems like so many people are struggling with their finances? You know, the first, you know, pass at this, you might think, well, it's because some people just don't have a lot of money. That's the reason that they get themselves in debt. But if you do a little bit of research, and again, I encourage you to go check this out for yourself, over the last 20 years, since the year 2000, since we came into this new millennium, incomes in the United States are way up. I mean, significantly up over any other time in history. And so you would think that debt would be down, wouldn't you, if that were the case? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't sometimes extenuating circumstances where people find themselves in debt and it really isn't their fault. Circumstances in life happen. But I will say this, I think that is very, very rare. I think the majority of the time, it's on us. If incomes are up, then debt should be down. But the opposite is true. This is what's crazy to me. Debt is up more than it has ever been in the history of the world. Why? If we have so much money, why is debt such a problem? And I believe the answer is really simple. We have two issues going on right here in our heart. Number one, many of us are guilty, myself included at times, of trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know who the Joneses are, but I know I want their stuff. Right? We fall into this trap of looking around at what everybody else has. And if we look at ourselves and we look at them and think, okay, I have about the same education level as them. I think I probably make about the same amount of money as them. Well, then I should be driving the same kind of car as them. And I should live in the same size house as them. And I should take the same kind of vacations as them. Right? We're all guilty of this. Come on. Let's just be honest. We are. It's a temptation. And in this social media, you know, television media driven world that we live in, it's hard, isn't it? Like we look around at what everybody else has and it's really easy to get kind of sucked into that mindset of like, well, that's what I should have too. That's normal. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for us. Is that this whole idea of what we're supposed to have, the debt that we, you know, our country says it's okay to have that, it's just become normal. And what I'm discovering and have been discovering for many years now as God has been working on this in my own life is it's not normal. It's not normal and it's not healthy in any way, shape, or form. Keeping up with the Joneses isn't possible. And all it will do is just leave us feeling more anxious. And it will chain us. It's not freedom at all. But number two is that we have a mentality of I want it now, don't we? I mean, again, come on. Let's be honest for a second. We want to keep up with the Joneses. And we also have this mindset of like, I want it now. I see that thing and I don't want to wait. I want it now. We live in the most like indulgent, gotta have it now culture that has ever been. I mean, I don't know what you guys do when you get on your phone. Like when I go to a website, I put my website in. If that thing doesn't load in 2 seconds or less, I'm angry. Like I'm frustrated. What is wrong with you? Why aren't you loading faster? There was a time, listen, I don't know how old you are. There was a time when I had to wait 10 minutes just to get on the internet. And now, 2 seconds and I'm ready to blow a gasket, right? That's called crazy town, okay? In case you're wondering. And your pastor is the mayor, all right? Like, it's just insanity. It's crazy. We live in this indulgent world where we have to have it now. How about Amazon? Amazon has pretty much ruined me. I mean, I will not order a package if it's not going to be here in 2 days or less. 5 days? Are you kidding me? I'm not waiting 5 days for anything, right? 2 days or less. That's what Amazon has done to us. We live in an incredibly indulgent culture where it's just like, no, I want it now. And if I can't have it now, I'm going to just go get my credit card and I'm going to buy it. Even if I don't have the money. Why? Because I want it now. Right? This is the reason that we're in debt. Come on, let's just be honest. This is the reason we're in debt. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. There's stuff that we want and we want it now and we don't want to wait for it. So we get our credit card or we go get a loan and we buy it. And the problem with that is that there are consequences. And unfortunately for me, most of the time, I don't think about the consequences. I just think about the right here and right now, what I want right now. And I don't think about what it's doing to my heart or my spirit, and I don't think about what it's doing to my future. We don't have a money problem. We don't. We have an indulgence problem. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at what Jesus says about this whole idea of debt. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what I think or what I say. All that matters is what God says about this issue. And he actually has a lot to say about this whole issue of debt and borrowing and what it can do to us, the impact that it can have on us. And I want to dig into this a little bit this morning. This is going to be a little bit more practical of a message than the first 2 weeks of this series, because we're going to really talk about if you are in debt, how to get out of it, that you are not cursed. You don't have to stay there. And God will help you to move out of that. And if you're not in debt right now, first of all, praise God that you're not. But don't check out on me, because I believe some of the things we're going to talk about today will be helpful for you in the future as you are talking to family members, friends, your kids, whoever it might be, to help them to understand these principles and bring some freedom to their life. And so, what does God say about debt? Well, number one, this may come as a surprise to you, it may not, but debt is not a sin. There is nowhere in Scripture, anywhere, where God calls out debt or borrowing as a sin. However, there's a however. He also does not say that it's wise or prudent or beneficial. You will not find that anywhere. In fact, it's the exact opposite. What he says is we need to be incredibly, incredibly cautious. We need to really, really think through whenever we are going to borrow from anyone. If you are going to do it, or if you're going to go into debt, you do not do it in haste. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. This is a verse where he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to explain to them that there are certain things that are not sin necessarily, but they are also not necessarily good. They are not profitable. They are not beneficial to you. And I believe this falls into this category. This is what Paul says. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say. Obviously not talking about sin, anything inside the parameters of not sin. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is what? Beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Here's the truth about debt. When you take out a loan, there is going to be an expectation that you pay interest on that loan. And what interest really is it's the way for you to get what you want now rather than wait for it for later. Right? When you take out a loan, when you go into debt, when you start having to pay interest, what you're really saying is, I am willing to risk my future for what I want right now. You are purchasing that thing, whatever it might be. It might be a car, it might, whatever. Doesn't matter. You're purchasing that thing for more now because you don't want to wait for it later. And that's just not wise. Is it a sin? No. Is it wise? Is it prudent? Is it a good stewardship of what you have? Absolutely not. It's not, no matter how you slice it. Because the interest that you pay on that thing up front, imagine you buy a car for $15,000. You pay for it cash, right? Instead of paying for it cash, you decide, no, I'm gonna finance it. Now you're paying $17,000 or $18,000 for that car, depending on what your interest rate is. So now that $2,000 or $3,000 extra that you're paying for it up front, you could have used that $2,000 or $3,000 to invest in something else that would have actually made you money, or you could have invested it into the kingdom to make a difference, but instead you spent it now so that you could have what you want now, and you risked the future. This is the problem with debt. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. It's an I want it now issue. And so here's my challenge to you. Here's the first challenge of the day. If you are going to take out a loan, if you are going to go into debt, think. Pray long and hard about whether or not it's really worth it, whether it's beneficial, whether it's profitable. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there is never a time when you shouldn't take out a loan. I do believe there are circumstances where that is the case. But for the most part, we should be really thinking about that. And I don't think that we do. I don't. I don't think our country would be in the shape that it's in right now if we did think about that on a regular basis. So that's number one. The second thing is this, that debt causes you to become a slave. You become a servant to whoever has lent you that money. Proverbs 22:7 says this, puts it this way. I love this. This is one of the great wisdom books of the Bible. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. The borrower is the slave of the lender, right? Because when you owe somebody else, again, there is an expectation that you are going to pay them back. And if you do not pay them back, guess what happens? There are consequences, right? They can come and they can take that thing that you purchased away from you. And if you've gotten yourself deep enough in debt, they can take other stuff away from you too. You are, as long as you are having to pay whoever that person is or organization is that you have borrowed from, you are a slave to them. They own you. They own your money. And if you don't make that payment every single week, there's going to be consequences. And I don't know about you, but there's no freedom in that. Not for me. That just brings stress and anxiety and worry. What if something happens? What if I can't make the payments? Have you ever been there? Like, am I the only one? It makes you feel like a slave to the lender. Is it a sin? No. Is it prudent? Is it beneficial? Is it productive? Absolutely not. We've got to be careful. But then, number three, debt has this way of conflicting with a hardworking mindset. It does. It conflicts with a hardworking mindset. Proverbs, again, 13, chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. See, here's the truth. When we borrow, when we take out loans, what we're saying is, I want it now. I'm not willing to wait for it. And I'm not really willing to work for it. I want it right now. And there's a, again, I told you, this is going to be a hard one. We got to wrestle with this. There's a laziness component to this. And I have to wrestle with this in my own life. Am I willing to steadily work, building up savings to purchase that thing that I want to buy and work really, really hard for it? Or do I just want to take out a piece of plastic and buy it so that I can have it right now? Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. That's just good stewardship. That's just a good principle to live by. Because once we begin to do that, once we begin to recognize that when we work for it, when we wait for it, there are good consequences that come from that. I won't go into debt. And even if I don't get it right now, I'll be okay. And I think that's a challenge for me. You don't really need it now. You can wait for it. You can work for it. and it will be so much more worth it later when you do. But then, the final thing that I want to touch on today, that God says about debt. You see, debt makes it really, really difficult to be generous. It makes it incredibly difficult to live a generous life, because in order to be generous, in order to show generosity, you actually have to have something to be generous with. And what debt does is it hamstrings us, it shackles us, it makes it so we don't have any margin in our lives and in our finances. I love what 1 John 3:17 says. It says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? In other words, my possessions, the things that I purchased with my credit card or got a loan to take out, those things, if they are more important to me than people that God wants me to be interacting with and helping and building the kingdom for, we have a problem. He goes as far as to question whether or not the love of God is really in us. If that's more important to us than helping other people and advancing the kingdom, we have a problem. And we cannot do that. We cannot advance the kingdom if we're constantly in debt. We have to create margin. We have to create margin. And what I want you to hear more than anything, all of those points are important to me. This is the most important one, because this is what God is really after in our hearts. This is the place he wants us to get to. He wants us to be a radically generous people. And I want this community, because I believe Jesus wants this for us, to be a radically generous community. And we cannot do that if we are in debt. We won't do it. And what I want you to hear is that if we refuse to get ourselves out of debt, what we're really saying is that what's more important to me in life is having stuff for myself. And what's not really that important is me doing everything I can to increase the kingdom. And if you're a Jesus follower, I don't know how many of you have a personal relationship with Christ, but if you are, I think that means everything, doesn't it? I mean, we have to follow him. We have to do what he's called us to do. We have to do what he's commanded us to do. And it's incredibly difficult to do that when we're in debt. And so that's what God says about debt. And there are other passages. I encourage you, go to Scripture and study that out some more for yourself. To recap, it's not necessarily sin, but it is not profitable. And in every way, we should be trying to get out of it if we are in it, so that we can make a greater impact on the kingdom. And the question is today, what is more important to you? Building a legacy for eternity, or building a legacy here and now, right here on this earth, which is going to go bye-bye the second we're gone? And so I want to challenge you to do a couple of things. We're going to get really, really practical now, right? What are we supposed to do with this information? If we recognize that debt is not good, it's not healthy for us, it hamstrings us, it shackles us, it makes us a servant and a slave, it's not going to help us build the kingdom, what can we actually do? Because I know I've been there. I've been in a place where I felt desperate, where I felt like there was no way I was ever going to get out of it. And yet God helped me to do that. And I believe he will help you if you will do some things. Number one, we have to, this is paramount. We have to stop finding contentment in stuff, looking around at everybody else thinking we need that. And we have to be content with what we have, what we currently have. Be content with those things, whatever that stuff is. That is the first step. We will never get out of debt if we are not content with what we have. You see, the fact of the matter is this, is that we confuse want with need all the time, don't we? Right? We confuse a want with a need. And what I'm learning is that when you want what you need, you'll never need what you want. Let me explain that. When you want what you need, you'll never need what you want. What is a need? I mean, really, truly, let's be honest now, what is a need? Right? Food, water, air, clothing, shelter, coffee for some of you. Right? Those are needs. Those are things that you cannot live without. You have to have those things. But everything else, and this is where we get hung up, everything else is a want. It's not a need. And we have to begin to look at what's a want and what's a need through the right perspective. Because if we continue to see all of the stuff that we want as a need, we'll never get out of debt. That's never going to happen. We will continue to consume more because we believe that those things are needs. No, I have to have those things, right? Every single year, they come out with a new iPhone, right? We have moved from a needs-based society to what? A desires-based society. 30 to 40 years ago, those of you that were around then, you know this. When you bought something, this is a novel idea, you used it until it broke, until it didn't work anymore. Now, we don't live in a culture like that anymore, do we? No, every year, there's a new iPhone that comes out. And when it comes out, they're telling you, you need this. You need to upgrade to this. This is better than what you have. And I got news for you. I'm an Apple guy all the way. I know we could start a little world war in here over that. I'm an Apple guy. But the iPhone has not changed in 5 years. Okay, come on. Apple, you're not fooling anybody. Right? Yeah, the camera might be a little bit better. It might be a little bit faster. It's not any better. And yet, what do? Every year, every 2 years, we trade in our phone, even though it's working perfectly fine. Why? Well, because we think we need that. No, that's not a need. That is a want. How about our Starbucks? Those of you that are coffee drinkers. You know, Starbucks, as much as you think it might be, it's not a need. Again, your coffee might be a need. I'll give you that one. But you can make your coffee at home for a fraction of the price. It's not a need. It's a want. And we have to get to a place where we recognize and understand the difference between those things. If you are in debt, this is the first step. Start focusing on the things that are actually needs and start cutting some things out that are wants. It's that simple. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and 15, or 13 and 5. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being what? Content with what you have. For he himself has said, meaning Jesus himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. You are going to survive without your Starbucks. I promise you. You're going to survive without your Netflix. I promise you. You will. Jesus will sustain you. He will take care of you. And in the process, as we begin to cut some of those things out that aren't really needs, he will begin to give you more margin. You will begin to feel more freedom. You will begin to have more to give. And this is very convicting for me. Because there was a time when I felt like, I can't give. I got all these expenses. And then I thought about, yeah, but I got Netflix for $15 a month. Do I really need that? Because right there is my first $15 that I can begin to give to the kingdom, to help build the kingdom, to make an eternal impact. Boom, right there, that simple. Differentiate need from want. You see, the reality is most of us, and I'm gonna give you a nice little quip here from a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey, who many of you maybe have studied out before. He's a financial guru, found himself bankrupt and then turned himself into a multimillionaire. Now he helps other people to get out of debt and live in financial freedom. This is what he says. And there was a time when I really needed to hear this. act your wage. Act your wage. Whatever that happens to be, God will take care of you. You don't need more stuff. You think you need more stuff, but you don't. And what Hebrews, can we go back to that for a second? Hebrews 13:5, what this is saying is, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. Be content with what you have. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Act your wage. The money that you have, I've given you that for a purpose, for a reason, for this time, for this season. Use it wisely. Don't go into debt over things that just gonna go bye-bye anyway. It's stuff. And it's not freedom. It's not at all. All right, we can move on from that. Back to act your wage. So, if that's number one, be content. Be content with what you have, right? Act your wage. Don't be trying to do things with your money that you shouldn't be doing. The second thing is this. We must get to a place where we start attacking the debt. We have to start actually doing something about the debt that we have. And this is sometimes the hardest part, is the starting. And for me, this was a really, really, really difficult thing. To start, because I was overwhelmed by how much debt we had at one point in our lives. And so I'm going to give you the Dave Ramsey method. Now, there are a lot of different methods that you could put into place to eliminate the debt in your life. I think this is a really good one, but it doesn't have to be this one. Okay, there are multiple ways to go about this. But number one, the first thing is this. Dave Ramsey says, we need to put $1,000, and that might be the first just hard step, getting $1,000 into our savings account, so that if there is an emergency, we are not freaking out and running for our credit card first thing to fix our water heater or the furnace or whatever it is that might come up, because stuff breaks and stuff happens, life happens, right? Put $1,000 in your savings account, and once you do that, you start taking every spare penny that you have, and you start putting it towards the debt that you have. And what he calls it is the debt snowball. And so you can do this one of two ways. What Dave Ramsey says is, you attack the smallest loan first. Maybe it's a small student loan, maybe it's your car loan, whatever it might be. You attack that first and you pay that thing off as quickly as you possibly can. And once you're done paying that off, you take the money you were putting towards that loan and you move it to the next one if you've got multiple. And once you pay that off, you take all that money, you move it to the third one. And guess what's happening as you start to pay those things off? You're freeing up more and more margin, more and more finances to be able to put towards those loans. And eventually what happens is you get to that last one, you've got so much extra margin, that thing, it just starts to snowball. And it goes faster and faster and faster. And before you know it, it's paid off. But I will tell you this, you will have to sacrifice. And it will not be easy. I'm going to give you my own personal testimony on this now. When Autumn and I first moved here 9 years ago from the Harrisburg area, I had just taken a job at Grace Community Church, where I was before I came here. And Autumn was finishing up school. She was going to school to be a teacher. She wasn't done yet. So we had a lot of student loans. We had a car payment. And when we moved here, we made the decision to move into what I can only describe as a hell box. And there are some of you sitting in this room right now who have joined us and come along with us here at True North Church who helped me move into that apartment. And I can tell you right now, my entire house or the entire apartment would fit into the kitchen in my current house. It was tiny. I'm talking like 300 or 400 square feet. It was hot. It was old. It was dingy. It was awful. Honestly, it was awful. And we thought, and my wife still, you know, Autumn still reminds me of this, oh, we're just going to live here for like 6 months, right? And then we'll find another place. We ended up living there for 3 years. And the reason that we lived there for 3 years was this. The apartment cost $350 a month. $350 a month, and that included everything I think except for our electric bill, which was like $30 a month because the apartment was so small. It was a sacrifice. We did not like living there. It was like 35 minutes away from everything that we wanted to go to. It was horrible. But I will tell you this. It was one of the best decisions we ever made financially. Probably the best decision we ever made. Because over the next 3 years, what it allowed us to do was plug away at those student loans, pay off the car, free ourselves financially so that we could live in financial freedom, so that we could buy a house and not feel like we were living house poor, so that we could have more money to give and be more generous with. And so this is the Dave Ramsey phrase I want to give you. This is my favorite of all the ones I've given you here this morning. I love this one the most. He says, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. If you are willing to sacrifice now, suffer a little bit now, live like nobody else in this country is really living, because everybody's living right up to the edge of their means, no matter how much money they have. If you are willing to live like no one else now, you can live like no one else later in financial freedom. I love that. It's so powerful. And so here's my final challenge. First, we got to be content with our stuff. We got to recognize need versus want. Second, we've got to begin to attack whatever debt that we have in our life, whatever that might be. I'll tell you this, just again, transparency. We had about $80,000 in debt between student loans and car payments. That's a lot of money to pay off. And we paid it off in about 3 or 4 years because we were really, really serious about attacking that thing. It can be done, I promise you that. And I am not the only one. There are thousands of people, countless people out there who have done this program and they've gotten out of debt and it has been life-changing for them. But the third thing, and maybe this is the most important thing. If we're going to be disciplined, I believe we've got to pray. We've got to ask God to help us with this. Because this is not natural. This is not easy. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy. It's hard. It's really, really difficult. You have to sacrifice some things. You have to suffer a little bit, but I promise you later, it will be so much better. But I believe this. We won't do it if we're not asking God for his help, for his discipline in our life to get this done. And so every day, we got to get down on our hands and knees and we got to say, okay, God, help me. I need you to provide the funds to help me do this. I need you to provide me with the discipline to stick with this because it's going to get hard. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. And you will come out on the other side of it so much better. I want to leave you with this verse from Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4. He says, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You can do this. That's my encouragement to you. You can do it. We did it. I've seen other people do it. And I will say today that it is such a burden that has been lifted off of us. And I will say today that we are able to give so much more generously without fear or anxiety or worry of whether or not we're going to be taken care of. And I want that for you. I want us to be a kingdom-building community with our time, our talent, and our treasure. God does not want us to be in debt. That is so clear. He doesn't want us to be in debt because it enslaves us. It makes us a servant to the lender. He wants us to be free from that. He wants us to be free from all debt. You know how I know that? Because as much as he wants us to be free from financial debt, financial burden, he wants our spirit and our soul to be free from burden. He wants our spirit to be free from the debt that we owe. See, this is This is why I love Jesus. Because I owed him a debt. Big debt. Massive, colossal debt. And he came into my life and he said, okay, Justin, even though you owe it, even though you should have to pay it, all of it back with interest, I'm gonna take care of it for you. I'm gonna close out the loan that you owe on your sin. And if you hear nothing else today, man, I want you to be good with your finances. I want you to go home today and begin to attack that debt. But more than anything, what I want you to know is that Jesus Christ died for your debt, for your sin. He loves you and he wants what's best for you. And before you even get into the financial stuff, man, would you just submit to him, to his authority in your life? Would you surrender to him today? And he will begin to do a work in you. He will begin to change you. He'll begin to give you freedom in every area of your life. That's what I'm hoping and praying for you today. Let's be a community that's different. How about that? What if we were? What if we were a community that was different? A church that was different? A people that was different? That's what God wants for us. Be different, he says. Follow my path, follow my plan, and I'll give you the freedom that you're really seeking after. That's my prayer and my hope for us. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for your goodness. I thank you that you do not want any of us to be living in debt, either spiritually or physically. And that you have provided us with all the tools we need to get out of our physical debt. And you have provided us through the cross, through your blood on the cross for us, for a way out of the debt that we owe for our sin. And so I pray today, if there's anybody who has never made the decision to follow you, that right now in this moment, they would make that decision from their heart to yours to begin to do that. God, may their life never be the same because of it. And those of us that call ourselves Jesus followers, I pray that you would convict us today. I pray that this message will speak to us right where we are with whatever we need to hear. And I pray that we would go from this place and that we would take action, and that we would live in the freedom that you have brought to us, that you want us to have. We love you, Father. You are so good to us. Thank you for helping us to work through and deal with a tough issue, a challenging issue. We'll bring you the glory. We'll give you the glory for how you change our lives. I do pray for life change today. We would walk away from this place, not just be hearers of the word, but doers. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said,